All right, as promised, hour number two starts with Sam Amick from USA Today. Sam, it's Grant Napier. How are you?
Grant, doing great. How are you?
Good. When I had you on, you were driving to game one, you and your colleagues, and I asked you for your prediction, and you said, I'm taking Cleveland in seven games. I would assume you're not changing that pick now.
No, unless I misspoke, I had Warriors in seven.
Oh, you actually put Cleveland on my show in seven because I was startled that you picked them to win in seven.
Man, I'm all over the map, Grant. But that's a good pick right now.
Hey, you can't lose. You can't lose. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's funny you mentioned that, and I won't name names, but I was talking to a Warriors person, and they were just joking, but we were saying, what do you think? What's going to happen? And the guy said, well, I'm thinking maybe I'll put a couple grand down on the cast so that then, you know, if we lose and my heart's ripped out, at least I made a little bit of cash.
Unbelievable. You know, let's start with off the court. I mean, I know that it's never pleasant when family members, whatever the case, go to social media because it just creates, you know, in my opinion, unwarranted. You don't want to deal with that heading to game seven. What was your thoughts on Steph Curry's wife and what she put out on social media?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I mean, obviously, people have gotten to know her, and she's very out there, very public, personable. I met her a few times, very nice young lady. It's just, you know, I think it's right now when your husband is in the middle of this kind of a series, I think it was just too much. And it just puts him in I saw it all happen in real time. It puts him in a very challenging situation. I mean, he got off of his press conference interview in the arena last night. And for one, the first priority was he was talking to league officials about the unfortunate situation where her father was mistaken for somebody else and almost arrested. So that's obviously a separate issue.
Right.
But all the other stuff, you know, it's rigged and talking trash to the Cavs. I mean, I thought it was fun for a while. It's over the top now. I feel like, you know, Steph's got a lot on his plate.
Sure he does.
A lot of pressure. And I just don't think that this is helping his situation at all.
Yeah, and then she, you know, gets into it with Stephen A. Smith today. I mean, at some point, put your phone away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Put your phone away for a couple of days. All right.
I mean, I'm okay with that from her and well beyond that. And just in general these days. And I mean, I'm on social media like crazy, but, you know, I just don't know why everybody feels like they got to share every single thought that crosses their mind.
Yeah, good point. Sam Amick, USA Today. I'm not a big believer in momentum in the playoffs. Clearly, Cleveland's got to be feeling as well as they have at any point during this series. So let's break down Game 7, Sam. Give me what you think are one or two of the main things that you think that we should look forward to on Sunday. Like, what are you looking at as we get ready for Sunday?
I mean, there's a handful of things. For one, you know, keep your eyes on Andre Iguodala and what.
Oh, we just lost him, so he's going through a bad area, and he told us that before we started the interview. So we'll get him right back on, and we'll talk with Sam Amick from USA Today. Don't forget, we only have a 6 o'clock show because of A's baseball, so we'll be adjourning at 6 o'clock. We still have Bobby Jackson, who's going to be coming on at 5:05. We'll look forward to talking with Bobby about an event that he's coaching tonight and his thoughts on the NBA playoffs. We've got that, and we're going to be talking with Bob Nightingale as well. That's going to be coming up at 5:30. So we'll get Sam back. Sam, I know you were going through a bad area, so thanks for hanging in there with us. You were talking about, number one, Andre Iguodala, about one of the things that we really need to keep an eye on. So go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, his back's an issue. You saw that in the game last night. He looked like an old man out there, and he's the number one guy for them in terms of finding a way to slow down LeBron. And the combination of Andre not feeling good, and I tell you what, I watched him leave the arena, and he didn't look good at all. And that's a real problem for the Warriors, considering that LeBron is in video game mode right now. So that's a big one. Another guy on the wing, Harrison Barnes, you know, he's got to wake up. I just filed a story on Harrison talking about the fact that, you know, he's been terrible these last couple of games. And this guy is potentially going to get paid $20-something million next year. And right now that seems pretty absurd. And, you know, he needs to step up. The home court advantage thing is big. They're so good there. They've never lost three games in a row since Steve Kerr came to town. So you got all these things on paper that you know, you feel like the Warriors should be able to pull it off. But in terms of just, I mean, I hear you on momentum, Grant, but in terms of just one team that's feeling itself, so to speak, versus another that looks pretty shook, the Cavs right now, I think, are the one that they look pretty intimidating.
And we've talked about this. I don't know if pressure is even the right word, but what's at stake for the entire city of Cleveland? Again, I went to college in Ohio, and I get it because I have so many of my friends from Cleveland, and they have not ever had a chance to celebrate a championship because there hasn't been one. I mean, the feel in that community, that, can you imagine what that party would be like if Cleveland is able to win Game 7? Can you imagine what that would be like in that part of the state?
Well, I can tell you that I think her name was Cindy. There's a nice lady at the Concierge Lounge in the Renaissance Hotel in downtown Cleveland who told me to just go ahead and enjoy the party from somewhere inside because it's going to be crazy if that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, you know, she's a woman who grew up in the area. And you know, we talked about that idea and how neat it would be for the locals. But what's fascinating, Grant, is that they are so conditioned to failure that, you know, like my Uber driver this morning, this nice young lady was talking about it. And they're going to get crushed in Game 7. And I said, why do you say that? She goes, oh, it's how we think, you know. So we'll see what happens. But they want it badly. And more importantly, it just seems right, you know, after two games, it just kind of looked like, all right, he's going to have to keep chipping away at this whole concept of Cleveland finally winning his title. You know, and now it just, you know, he just turned a page and is playing the best basketball. Just saying something, this guy's played some pretty damn good ball. And I mean, last night's game was arguably just one of the best finals games, playoff games of all time. And then not just the scoring, but the way he impacted things and the force and the will. And I mean, he's on another level. So he's the guy. You talk about what to watch. I just, if he's that same guy, the Warriors can't.
Sam, can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. Can you imagine what would happen if Game 7 is poorly officiated? I think this has not been a good postseason for the officials. I'm really got my fingers crossed that that's not an issue. I can't think of anything right now that could be much worse for the NBA than to have a poorly officiated Game 7.
No, I completely agree. They got, in my opinion, you know, they're scot-free in terms of last night, even though there were some terrible calls. You know, we talked about Aisha's tweets and people talking about the officiating. The Warriors lost because they got their tails kicked. And you know, so, but that being said, the whole, you know, Steph Curry being the back-to-back MVP and getting those kinds of calls, you kind of think it's going to go the other way at home. And they always want to say that that doesn't happen, and they call it straight no matter where they are. These guys are human. They know the narrative. Steve Kerr very deliberately came out and went after the officials, was more than willing, I'm sure, to pay $25,000 with his fine today. That's a Phil Jackson move where you say, enough. We're not going home and dealing with this kind of garbage. And we've never seen Steph Curry react the way that he did. I mean, I looked at one of the Bay Area papers today, and they had this great shot of him just barking in Jason Phillips' ear, obviously through the mouth guard. So defending champs, you got the MVP on your side. Chances are they're going to get some whistles on Sunday.
And then for Golden State, you talked about Iguodala. I would agree with you. His back's got to be a big issue. Harrison Barnes, number two. I mean, it goes without saying that the Warriors are going to need both of their guards to make their shots. And I'm talking about Curry and Thompson. We really haven't seen a lot of that on the same night.
Yeah, I mean, Clay's the probably, if you just ask which guy do you trust right now the most, I'd probably go with Clay. I think he'll be fine, and sometimes the way their offense falls, you know, he's not the guy to have a big night. But, you know, I mean, and nobody's questioning Clay's psyche and Clay's spirit. I mean, Game 6 in the last series was an all-timer, and you can make an argument that he's been the MVP of the playoffs for the Warriors, and he's, you know, the way he defends on the other end. So Clay's got to get it going, and Steph, I mean, Steph had a quiet 30 points, which is tough to do. I mean, he had pretty good night, and I think maybe we're overlooking the fact that I mean, that game was tight with a few minutes to go. They missed a few, you know, I mean, Steph in particular, he missed a shot at the rim that would have cut it to six, and it could have been a different story. Obviously, the tough calls didn't help. That game was tighter than, you know, I think even we ended up portraying it to be. So it felt a little bit like the Warriors did find something in those last three quarters because, you know, really, you wind up losing by 14. You got smoked by 20 in the first quarter. I mean, that for all the talk of the officiating, I mean, the focus should be on the fact that you got hammered 31-11 in the first quarter. You didn't score for the first almost 6 minutes of the game. We've never seen that from this Warriors team.
Sam Amick, USA Today. I'm curious, you know, for you guys that are doing this on a national basis, you get Game 7, so that is going to be on June 19th, and then you guys have to be right in it on July 1st when free agency starts. So, like, when is your downtime? When do you get a break?
You're asking, this is a bad day to ask that question, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm thinking.
it's a fun gig, but as the years go on, and, you know, years and years ago, I told someone this the other day, you know, our buddy Marty McNeil, who had the Kings job before I did, I used to remember, you know, before Twitter, before the internet, you know, guys like that would just disappear for 8 weeks at a time, and that's their downtime, and there wasn't the demands there are now. We end up having to carve out time at different times of the year. I mean, I took a week off in December this year, which sounds kind of crazy. It's in the middle of the season, but you kind of have to do that because December matters less than July. And so, you know, you got to pick your spots, but this is an extremely busy time of year. The draft is going to keep us busy this week, figuring out if teams are going to make deals, who's going to be going where. And then you got free agency, and then you got this other X factor. Again, you know, this is something I pushed hard to be a part of, but the Rio Olympics are going to be taken up by August, assuming I still go. I'm like everybody else, kind of
sure
monitoring that situation, but there's not a lot of downtime right now.
All right, final thing. We're talking with Sam Amick from USA Today. If the Warriors do not win on their home floor in Game 7, what do you think the narrative will be with everything that's happened to them this year with the 73 wins, the come from behind against Oklahoma City? What do you think the narrative, the final script would be? What do you think the majority of people in your profession will have to say about the Warriors season?
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's obviously, it's the hot take is call it a choke job. I don't know what, I never love that terminology, but like they blew it. They would have blown it anyway, hypothetically, especially on your home floor. I mean, it was amazing that they came back against the Thunder down 3-1 in the conference finals, but they had two of their final three games on their home floor. If the Cavs do this and they come back from 3-1 when they had to win two games at Oracle out of the final three, I mean, that's, you know, they're going to have egg on their face. Klay Thompson, again, I'm loving Klay these days because filter, which is tremendous for media people. And he said last night it would be 100% failure. He just kind of
right
put it on the table. So, you know, they'll own it. I mean, I think you'll always say they were tremendous during the regular season, and then you'll say that they learned the hard way, that their style of play still had just enough vulnerabilities in their collective personality that it just wasn't as playoff-tested or playoff-ready as they thought it might have been. I mean, last year, those were the suspicions, was what if, you know, the Cavs were healthy? What if they had more coming at them physically? You know, could they withstand the kind of force that a team like Oklahoma City showed them in the last round? I mean, they showed a tremendous amount of character to even get to the finals. So I'm not going to sit here. I mean, I wouldn't come within a million miles of saying they've been an embarrassment. They've battled, and not to ramble on you, Grant, but history tells you whenever a superstar gets hurt in the playoffs, and this is ESPN's Tom Haberstroh had a good piece on this, that's always enough to derail a very good team. So that's another factor here. They had to withstand Steph Curry getting hurt with the knee and the ankle. It has been a tough road to hoe for them, and that's why Game 7 is so amazing to me, is because it's going to be one of two extremes. Because if they win it, it's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yep.
And they've been through a lot to get there.
Sam, enjoy it. Thank you so much. I know you're swamped. Greatly appreciated. And, again, that should be one heck of an environment to be witnessing that game on Sunday. So enjoy.
You got it, Grant. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Sam Amick, USA Today.